Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to Astatio's conference call to discuss fourth quarter and year of 2013 results. This event is also being broadcast simultaneously on the internet via webcast, which can be accessed on the company's IR website, together with the respective presentation and earnings release. We would like to inform you that during the company's presentation, all participants will only be able to listen to the call. We will then begin the Q&A session, where further instructions will be given. In case you need any assistance during the conference, please request the operator's help by pressing star then zero. This conference call contains forward-looking statements that are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause the company's actual results to differ materially from those in the forward-looking statements. Such statements speak only as of the date they are made, and the company is under no obligation to update them in light of new information. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Rogério Melzi, CEO. Please, Mr. Rogério, you may proceed.
Well, thank you very much, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to our conference call to discuss our results for the fourth quarter and full year of 2013. Virgilio Gibbon, our CEO, is with me here today, and he'll be helping me with the presentation as well as our IR team. Just remind you that you're going to have a question and answer session at the end of the presentation. Let's go straight to slide number two of our presentation, which is also available on our website. In every single lecture we give in our campuses throughout Brazil, and believe me, there are many, in order to spread our organizational culture, we always use the picture of a scale to illustrate our constant pursuit for equilibrium, a vital characteristic for companies alert to the realities of the 21st century. In general, we say that we have to pursue a balance between financial management and academic quality, financial results and non-financial results, and short-term results and long-term results. Such perception comes from observing successful cases from companies both in Brazil and in the rest of the world, and also from our firm belief that companies must constantly work on their fundamentals if they want to survive in the long run. For this reason, we always seek to measure, monitor, control, and then disclose data that go beyond financial information about our company, because we believe this information help us not only to understand our good financial performance, but also to create a culture oriented to long-term results. Now let's move to slide number three, where we deal with the two sides of the scale. When you look at our operating and financial results for 2013, we see that we have been very successful in achieving this balance. With regards to our financial results, which Virgilio will deal with in more detail later on, it is particularly worth highlighting the 25% increase in our annual net revenue, which, together with our cost control initiatives, led to substantial EBITDA growth of 52.6%. The EBITDA margin came to 18.5%, 3.3 percentage points up on 2012, underlining our healthy and consistent growth trajectory. As a result, our 2013 net income increased by 123%, closing the year at 244.7 million reais, generating an earnings per share of 0.83, 89% higher than 2012. I'd like to mention that we, once again, delivered substantial results without any large-size acquisition and without any meaningful structural change to our company. In other words, we once again grew basically in an organic way, building on top of a solid foundation we have been working on for a few years, which requires a lot of effort and managerial capacity. On the non-financial side, we obtained relevant results in the latest round of the Ministry of Education, MEC, evaluations in 2012, published at the end of 2013, with a focus on the law, communications, and management programs, which account for around 53% of our student base. Our grades showed great improvement in comparison to the 2009 results, the last year in which this group of courses was evaluated, which demonstrates that our academic model puts us in the right path when it comes to gains in teaching quality. Further, irrefutable proof of the evolution of our academic quality came from the transformation of colleges into university centers, which is subject to very rigid appraisal standards by the Ministry of Education. The National Education Council approved the transformation of Faculdade Estácio in Belo Horizonte and Facitec in Brasília into university centers, and now we're only awaiting publication of the respective ordinances in the Official Gazette. In addition, the São Paulo and Salvador university centers recovered their academic autonomy, thanks to their good grades in the ENADE and CPCs I just mentioned. At Estácio, we also seek balance between our financial and non-financial or operating indicators. We therefore keep a very close eye on the satisfaction levels of our students and employees, measured in a systemic, regular, and concrete manner. Our student satisfaction index has improved substantially, climbing from 58% in 2008, when we began measuring these indicators, to 68% in 2013, according to a survey by Copernicus and Ipsos Pesquisa de Mercado. In the same period, our employee satisfaction index increased from 56% to 68%, according to an organizational climate survey conducted by the Hay Group. We also put our efforts in the development of applied research, including the creation of an agency to develop scientific activities at Estácio, and we remain firm with our social responsibility initiatives. The latest highlight was the sponsoring of Solar Meninos da Luz, responsible for almost 500 helpless children and teenagers in the city of Rio de Janeiro. Finally, when we think of the balance between short-term and long-term results, we are aware that the excellent results Estácio has been obtaining recently are the fruit of seeds planted years ago. And we are equally aware that if we want to carry the sustainable growth into the years ahead, we need to plant new seeds. With this in mind, we are moving ahead with our expansion projects, both through geographical organic growth and strategic acquisitions. We opened 3 new greenfield units, 2 in Rio de Janeiro, in Angra dos Reis and Teresópolis, and also our 3rd campus in Fortaleza. We also entered Brasília through the acquisition of Facitec and expanded our operations in Santa Catarina with the acquisition of ASESC. We also announced our biggest ever acquisition, Uniceb, an excellent asset located in Ribeirão Preto, in the countryside of São Paulo State, with an extensive nationwide network of distance learning centers. In the new business front, we began to record the first results of our continuing education area, created at the end of 2012. The graduate segment exceeded the 20,000 student mark, fueled by our partnership with the Grupo Forte, and the short-duration course area reached 1 million accesses through the Você Aprende Mais, You Learn More website. So moving on to slide number 4, here you can see the recommendations of our strategic plan, which we disclosed to the market at the beginning of 2013. We now have a structured innovation area, have just opened our corporate university, have begun building our branding project, Estácio brand, have reinforced our institutional positioning, are thinking about our future academic model, have consolidated the EVA culture throughout the company, are investing in our alumni relationship project, and are strengthening our applied research area. At the same time, determined to further improve our student satisfaction levels, we successfully implemented an extensive quality system, student complaint control, and central ombudsman, allowing us to monitor our students' complaints and deal with problems as soon as they arise. To sum up, this year we could see the results of our work on several fronts, at the same time that we achieved the balance I mentioned in the introduction and prepared the ground for achieving the goals of our 2020 vision, which means generating the best returns for students, employees, and investors in our segment. I now hand you over to Virgilio, who will go into more detail concerning our results for the fourth quarter and 2013.
Thanks, Melzi. Good morning, everyone. To begin, I'd like to call your attention to slide 5, which deals with our operating results. The first chart shows the student base at the close of 2013, when we had 350,700 students, 16.3% more at the end of 2012. In same-shop terms, growth came to 14.6%. It's worth remembering that we consolidated the acquisition of ASESC in Florianópolis, adding around 900 students to our base. Our on-campus student base totaled 250,500 students at year-end, already including the 4,500 students acquired in the last 12 months. In same-shop terms, growth came to 12.5%, including graduate students, reinforcing the sustainable organic student base growth trend following 7 consecutive record high intake cycles. It's worth highlighting some important points concerning the on-campus undergrad student base and the dropout rate, which can be explained by the following factors. 1. A much younger student base in fourth quarter 2013, which had 62.3% of its students enrolled in the first 3 semesters, vis-a-vis 57.5% in fourth quarter 2012. 2. the dropout of FIES students who were not able to renew their contracts, mainly due to insufficient academic performance, totaling around 3,000 students. And three, a one-off base cleaning of 3,000 students who did not request the withdrawal of their classes or did not attend the classes or took exams. It's worth highlighting that this procedure was conservatively changed in fourth quarter 2013, as we observed the behavior of this type of student the previous quarter, which ended up not returning to classes after the renewal period. We believe this change, although it has a negative impact on fourth quarter 2013 net revenue, will bring positive effects in our 2014 first semester renewal rate, and will help us reduce our level of civil litigation related to undue charges. Our distance learning base grew by 24.1% over fourth quarter 2012 to 60,700 students. As you can see on the graph at the side, net operating revenue increased by 20.5% over the same period in the previous year, reaching 436 million reais, thanks to the expansion of the student base and increase in the average ticket. In relation to fourth quarter 2013 revenue, it's important to mention 3 points. Number one, higher dropouts. The higher dropout level was caused by the increase in the dropouts from FIES student and the student base growth seen the first 3 quarters of the year, given the sequential record high intake cycles. Base cleaning. Estácio's fourth quarter 2013 net operating revenue was impacted approximately 12 million reais due to a base cleaning we decided to do in a very conservative approach, as previously explained. Out of his amount, around 9 million reais referred to on-campus revenues and 3 million reais to distance learning revenues. Provision for FIES Guarantee Fund, FGDUC. As of fourth quarter 2012, we have changed the provisional methodology for students contracting loans through the FIES Guarantee Fund. Over the revenues of these students, we must make a contribution in order to constitute the fund. The number of FIES students using this fund increased significantly in the second half of 2013, reaching 81% of the FIES student base. This difference increased the amount of revenue deductions related to the fund to 10.9 million reais, an increase of 6.9 million reais or 172.5% in relation to fourth quarter, same period 2012. Excluding the one-time effects mentioned above, fourth quarter 2013 net revenue would have been approximately 19 million reais higher, totaling 455 million reais, a 25% growth in comparison to fourth quarter 2012. The average on-campus ticket grew by 5.9% in the fourth quarter, in line with peer inflation, and by 5.0% in the full year, slightly below inflation, mainly due to the impact of the FGDUC revenue deductions. If these are excluding both 2012 and 2013, the average ticket would move up by 6.4% year on year, above inflation for the period. The cancellations previously mentioned also had a negative one-off impact on the average ticket increase. The average distance learning ticket fell by 6.6% in the fourth quarter 2013, from due to the cancellations of undue charges corresponding to 3 million reais, referring to students without proven academic record, so this affected the average ticket this time. The full year, however, it moved up by 4.1%, exceptionally below inflation, for the same reason as in fourth quarter 2013, plus the launch of EAD+, an option which dilutes the course curriculum and consequently its value over a further 2 semesters, which also impacted the quarter. Now let's move on to slide number 6, where you can see a vertical analysis of our operating costs and expenses. In fourth quarter 2013, our cash cost improved by 2.5 percentage points over fourth quarter last year as a result of the following gains. 1.2 percentage points in the personal line for the same reason as the gains in the previous quarters, and 0.8 percentage points in third-party services, confirming the dilution in this line and improved management of third-party contracts throughout the year. The 2013 cash cost was once again an important source of efficiency gain. improving by 3.2 percentage points due to the following gains. 1.3 percentage points in the personal line, demonstrating another year of increasingly efficient management of faculty costs, with higher occupation rates and increased penetration of the academic model in the student base. 0.8 percentage points in the ENSS line, reflecting the gains in prior quarters. 0.5 percentage points in rentals, thanks to improved contract management gains of scale from the increase in the student base. And 0.7 percentage points in third-party services, confirming the scale we have been obtaining in this line. In fourth quarter, selling expenses recorded a gain of 0.4 percentage points. Although the PDA net revenue rate posted a one-off deterioration of 0.5 percentage points, this was more than offset by 0.9 percentage point gain in the marketing line. It's worth mentioning that in fourth quarter 2012, we had the adjustment in the PDA related to the booking of the contribution of FG Duke, which began to consider as a revenue deduction, meaning a 4 million reais reversed on the PDA that quarter. Let's remember that the TS contracts from February 2014 onward will have the non-covered risk booked in the same way of FG Duke, even for new contracts with a guarantor, in the proportion between government and institution already known. While we will do the 5.63% contribution for all new contracts, we highlight that as of July 2013, we have been receiving an analytical report on the real distribution of YES students with Gerto and with FG Duke from National Education Development Fund, FNDE. Based on the difference between our own estimates and the figures in this report, we begin to effect this retroactive adjustment, given that the percentage of YES students with FG Duke was higher than we originally estimated. In second half 2013, the distribution of YES students was 81% with FG Duke and 19% with a guarantor. Sell expenses in 2013 represented 10.6% of net revenues, generating a margin gain of 0.8 percentage points, chiefly due to 0.7 percentage point increase in the PDA net revenue ratio, demonstrating the organic improvement in our PDA in 2013 as a whole and the growing penetration of YES students in our student base. In the fourth quarter 2013, general and administrative expenses represented 15.2% of net revenue, 1.2 percentage points down on fourth quarter 2012. The 0.4 percentage point gain from personal was more than offset by losses of 1.3 percentage points in other operating revenue, which not benefit from the one-off gain in fourth quarter 2012 from the sale of properties totaling 4 million reais. 2.4 percentage points in others impacted by 3.3 million reais lost in civil agreements and convictions as a result of the strategy adopted this year to decrease liability from civil lawsuits at the same time as reducing the number of new lawsuits. It's worth noting that we gain efficiency in the personal line, despite having provisioned 3.3 million more for bonuses in fourth quarter 2013 than in fourth quarter 2012, reflecting 2013 positive results. In the full year, G&A expenses represented 13.8% of net revenue, 0.7 percentage point deterioration over the year before, chiefly due to margin losses in the following lines. 0.3 percentage points in provisions for contingencies, which benefit from reversals in 2012, 0.4 percentage points in other operating revenues, and 0.3 percentage points in others, impacted by the negative variation civil agreements and convictions, as in recent quarters. It's also worth remembering that, as we have been mentioning since second quarter 2013, the personal line was impacted by around 4 million reais from the increase in the headcount, corresponding to investments in new areas that will generate significant revenue for the companies, such as continuing education. Moving to slide 7, we can see the EBITDA growth posted in the quarter and the year in 2013. EBITDA came to 320.3 million reais, a 52.6% increase over 2012, capping a year of excellent results with an EBITDA margin of 18.5%, up by 3.3 percentage points. Unquestionably, reflecting our capacity to attract students and our efforts to manage and control costs and expenses, which are becoming more and more efficient. It's also worth noting that the gradual and constant pace at which we have been growing our EBITDA and the consistent and smooth improvements in the margin in the last 3 years, a direct result of our managed model and our focus on the long run. In the fourth quarter 2013, EBITDA totaled 65.8 million reais, 36.2% higher in the fourth quarter 2012, with an EBITDA margin of 15%, up by 1.7 percentage points. The margin expansion slowdown observed in the fourth quarter 2013 in comparison to the previous quarters can be explained by the 4 million asset sale concluded in fourth quarter 2012, loss of 1.1 percentage points, and the higher amount of provisions for bonus due to the superior results and the achievement of our internal goals, loss of 0.7 percentage points. Excluding the effect of these two events, the margin expansion would have come to 3.5 percentage points. In this context, our margin gain 2013 was of 3.3 percentage points within our expectation for the year. Now let's go to slide 8, where we present our accounts receivable. The number of net student receivable days averaged 70 days in fourth quarter, 7 less than in third quarter 2013 and 3 less than in fourth quarter 2012. Excluding FIES, net revenue receivables, the average receivable period came to 81 days, one day more in third quarter of 2013 and four less than second quarter 2013. As you can see on slide 9, our FIES accounts receivable fell by 21.3 million reais over the previous quarter, showing the normalization of the certificate transfer process following the greater volume of FIES contract amendments in third quarter 2013. These amendments are concentrated in the opening months of the academic semester. In fourth quarter, FIES transfers totaled 180.9 million reais, 45.6 million reais more than the previous 3 months. FIES carried forward credits increased by 44 million reais in the fourth quarter due to one-off delay in the FNDE buyback auctions in December, which was postponed until January, thereby impacting quarterly cash flow by this amount. However, cash flow was normalized when the buyback auction took place in the first week of January. The average FIES days receivables, therefore, increased over third quarter 2013 due to postponement of this auction. If the auction had taken place on time, the average FIES days receivable would have fallen to 48 days, its lowest level since the beginning of the program, reflecting the major improvement in the FIES contract management process. Slide 10 shows us our quarterly cash flow. We record a negative working capital variation of 54.9 million reais, chiefly due to the one-off delay in the buyback option, which I commented on the previous slide, which reduced our working capital by 44 million reais, while CapEx, excluding acquisitions, totaled 56.0 million reais. These negative variations more than offset our fourth quarter EBITDA of 65.8 million reais, generating negative adjusted operation cash flow of 1.1 million reais. On slide 7, you can see that operational cash flow in 2013 was positive in 78.5 million reais. If adjusted for the delay in the FIES buyback auctions, it would have been positive by 122.5 million reais, 33.3 million higher than 2012, representing a clear improvement in our growing cash flow generation capacity. I will now hand you back to Melzi for his conclusion and final remarks.
Well, thank you, Virgilio. On slide number 12, I'll talk a little bit about our prospects for 2014. In 2013, we could see the results of our work on several fronts, at the same time that we achieved the balance I mentioned in the introduction and set the foundations for our 2020 vision. One of the side effects of such a good year is that there is an inertial effect for the following year, in this case 2014, because there is a positive carryover of several variables that compose our results. One of these variables certainly is the student base. When we look at 2014, we appear to be maintaining our healthy growth pace, and everything points out to another record high intake cycle, the 80th in a row, basically in an organic contest. Although the process is not yet complete, we expect intake to grow approximately by 18%, both in the on-campus undergraduate and the distance learning undergraduate segments. In this contest, our on-campus undergraduate base should grow between 12 and 15%, while the distance learning undergraduate base should grow between 20 and 25%, for a total same-shop undergraduate base growth of roughly 15%, which will certainly allow us to once again expand our results in absolute terms as well as in margins. It is really important to highlight that all this growth comes in a scenario without relevant acquisitions in the last years, on top of a base which has been growing steadily for several semesters and had its biggest inefficiencies already nailed. Not to mention the fact that our distance learning has the same number of distance learning centers since the beginning of its operation. In other words, we are talking about organic growth based on management, which significantly improves our returns over the years. Parallel to this organic growth, we began the year with excellent news when we won the assisted transfer bids for students from Universidade Gama Filho and Universidade, which had been disaccredited by the Ministry of Education. We received Gama Filho's medical students and, in partnership with Universidade Veiga de Almeida and SENAC, we won the two bids for Gama Filho and Universidade's other programs. According to the bid notice, around 10,000 students from these institutions may end up transferring to Estácio. In addition to opening new avenues of growth, this process will allow us to extend a helping hand to thousands of students whose future was uncertain, in total accordance with our social responsibility principles and initiatives. In 2014, we also began to explore a new line of business for Estácio, that of vocational courses through Pronatec. And this decision has already begun to bear fruits with the result of the bid for places in the first semester of 2014, held by the Ministry of Education, in which we received approval for 100% of the places we requested, roughly 24,000 seats. When we made the decision to participate in Pronatec, we put together an excellent team to create and conduct a program with the same standards that we are used to in our regular post-secondary programs. So we feel we are ready to successfully deliver these courses in Rio de Janeiro in locations where we have demand, penetration, and idle capacity to receive these new students. In the corporate solutions area, we enter into our first contract with the Contax Group and have several other promising contracts in the pipeline, while the Academia do Concurso, reinvigorated and ready to launch its courses in the distance learning module in 2014, is fully equipped to begin leveraging its results following a period of intense restructuring. On the expansion front, we are awaiting authorization from CADE, Brazil's antitrust authority, to conclude the acquisition of Unicef, but we are very excited about the growth prospects for our distance learning segment and the integration of all the operational and academic value that UNICEF can offer. It is also worth remembering that we have filed requests with the Ministry of Education to open new units, and we expect to receive authorization to operate 11 new campuses. Because we've been so successful with our intake process for 2014, and because we have all these not yet priced avenues for growth, our team is absolutely confident that we are in great shape to deliver outstanding results in fiscal year 2014. However, thinking about the future, we have also included several projects in the targets of our executive officers related to the company's strategic plan, and therefore long-term by nature, including the branding project, the hospitality project, the EVA in the management system, and the alumni project. Here at Estácio, we keep reaping the fruits we planted a few years ago, but in parallel, we also keep planting new seeds for the years to come, with both eyes on Estácio's long-term goals. That brings us to the end of our presentation, so now let's go to the Q&A session. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the Q&A session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. If at any point your question has been answered, you may remove your question from the queue by pressing star, then two. And our first question comes from Felipe Cruz of Itaú. Please go ahead.
So my first question relates to, just to make sure that this client base, this student base cleaning that you're doing relates to revenues coming only from the fourth quarter, or it also relates to revenues coming from the and impacting your third quarter results? So that's my first question. And also, if you could provide, because in the Portuguese conference call, you said that PDAs in the first quarter of 2014 shouldn't be impacted a lot by this cleaning, but second quarter results should already see a significant reduction as you clean fourth quarter students in this result. So I just wanted to have a better sense of the breakdown of how much of this 12 million reais come from the fourth quarter and how much comes from the third quarter, and how do you expect that to impact your results going forward?
All right, let me, this is Melzi, Felipe, thank you for your question. Let me clarify this a little bit, and then Virgilio helps me with this more technical information. I just want to talk a little bit on our decision to make it very clear that we are not changing anything related to the past. This is a change in the way, or this is a change in our process, you know, to charge these students. Let me explain this better. As you all remember, you know, 2 years ago, 2011, 2012, we saw all this, you know, spike in our delinquency here at Estácio, and we decided to be much stronger in terms of, you know, improving our collection with all these students. And we did that by, you know, hiring external assistants and making sure that all these students were getting, you know, charged at the proper time. And this is proving, you know, to be very helpful to us. We are watching our PDA, our delinquency, you know, coming down over the last semesters or so. However, we also saw, and I think it's very clear in our release, we also saw an increase in our civil lawsuits. And this started happening roughly in July or August this year. So the moment we saw that, we went to analyze what was going on, and it became clear to us that there is a cluster of students that were signing with us at the beginning of each semester. We force every student to sign a contract with us, a contract that will allow us in the future to try to charge these students with, you know, better chance of success. They were signing with us, but they were dropping out very early in the semester. And they were not even coming to take their first exam, which is very important for us in terms of being successful with this charging attempt. We were, until this semester or this quarter, we were keeping invoicing these students because we thought we had a good chance to charge them based on the contract they had signed. However, these students were suing us, not only to protect them against these charges, but also to try to charge us because we are, it's kind of a moral, I don't know how to say that in English, a moral hazard or stuff like that, something that we were trying to do in an unfair way, and they were being successful in that. So in each case, we get this kind of loss. We end up paying around 10,000 to 12,000 reais for these students. So not only are we not receiving from these students, we are not collecting anything, but now we have to pay them because of this moral hazard stuff that they are suing us for. When we saw that, we decided to change the process here. So now when we see that these students haven't come or didn't show to take their first exam, and they are not showing, and they could be just a sunny student if they are not, you know, accessing the website, we can monitor that. So we are now, or we have now decided to stop invoicing these students. However, when we did that, when we saw that in the middle of the fourth quarter, yes, we had already invoiced them, you know, partially in the third quarter and also in the fourth quarter. So this is what we are calling a cleanup. It's not something that, you know, had been sitting there for 3 or 4 years. This is something really new that happened this semester, and because we learned with our own mistakes, we decided to change that. This is the reason Virgilio said in the Portuguese call that there's not a lot to do or to recover in the first quarter, because the vast majority of these invoices happen in the fourth quarter, given our or the way we get these students into our student base. So we are going to see something coming back. And why this comes back in PGA? Because, of course, if these students were getting invoiced, if they were not coming back because they were going to drop out anyway, at some point, we will need to recognize this as a PGA, right? We need to book for this provision. This is neutral from a result standpoint, but it's not neutral anymore at the moment they sue us and get this kind of money back from us. So this is the reason we decided to stop. So chances are that in the first quarter of 2014, we are going to see a slight reduction in PGA coming from this situation. And I expect to see a further reduction in the second quarter of 2014. I also think that in the medium term, we will see a reduction in these civil, you know, lawsuits we are suffering, because if we stop with this biggest driver, you know, for these lawsuits, I would expect us to have some return in the medium term. So let's, you know, just make it very clear. We're not talking about anything old. This is something that happened. It has been happening over the last semesters. The moment we saw that, we decided to change because we think it's reasonable for the company in the medium term.
Okay, thank you. And also going forward, how we should look at dropout rates and how we should look at how you actually account for or not account for these kinds of students. So should we continue to see kind of a more seasonal result where you account for these students in the first half of the semester and then in the second half as you learn that this student is one of those that falls into this category of guys that sign with you but eventually drop out and won't receive an invoice anymore. So how we should model now your results quarterly and how we should look at dropout for the company going forward?
Well, obviously, Flav and our team can, you know, give you more details when it comes to modeling, but let me give you an overview. First, let's remember that we have two kind of dropouts here as we speak, as we call here in Estácio. The first one we call the renewal rates, and that happens at the end of each semester, right? So every student who finishes a semester has to make a decision to come back or not, right? This is what we call renewal rates. And that happens every end of the semester. Because we changed this process, I expect this renewal rate to be better now in 2014, first quarter of 2014, for the simple fact that these students were not going to come back anyway. So if we have already got rid of them in terms of our student base, chances are that the renewal rates in percentage terms will be better now in this first quarter. The other dropout situation we have, we call evasion or dropout, that happens during a semester. So students start with us, say in January, February or so, and then for whatever reason, they drop out during that, you know, current semester. That we call a dropout or evasion here in Estácio. That won't be so affected by that decision. I think that maybe some kind, it may become a little bit smoother in terms that, you know, some of these students may end up not being recognized in the first quarter if we see that on time. So they don't show up as evasion in the second quarter. But the problem is that our first exam usually happens right at the end of the first quarter, sometimes the beginning of the second quarter or the even quarter. So, and we are going to wait until this moment to make sure that we capture these students in a proper way, and then we stop invoicing them. So I'm not so sure we'll see any kind of change in this, you know, dynamics between odd and even quarters when it comes to this evasion or to this dropout. But I am confident that we are going to see a better, you know, renewal rate at the odd semesters, and also in the medium term, we are going to see a reduction in our civil lawsuits. And again, this is the unique reason we made the decision, to reduce our civil lawsuits, okay?
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Welcome, thank you.
Our next question comes from Pierre Safa of Tree Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you very much for taking my question. So I had two questions. The first one was just to understand, again, what you were just discussing. So the total then is 12 million reais, and you said 9 million. It was just to confirm, I think you mentioned that during the call, 9 million was on-campus learning and 3 million was distance learning. So I just wanted to confirm that and how many students this affects. So that's the first question. The second question is, can you please confirm what your guidance is for 2014? Thank you.
Okay, Pierre, thanks for the question. This 12 million reais, 9 million is coming from the on-campus student. If you take into consideration the 3,000 students that we said about the FIES student base, almost 7 million reais of this total 9 million are coming from this canceling from FIES, tuition, the canceling for the tuition from July, August, and September. So you can imagine average tuition of 750 reais. This can go up to 6.8 and 7 million reais of this on-campus student. The rest is certainly about more 1,000 students is the other part of on-campus student that makes part of all, complete the part of this 9 million canceling coming from the on-campus. The other 3 million, almost 3 million, 2.8 actually, was coming from the distance learning students that we canceled during the second semester. So, as Melzer just told us, we are expecting a better renewal rate for the second semester and also a reduction, a good trend to reduce the new entrance of the PDA for the first half of 2013.
And Pierre, for your second question, this is Melzer again, thank you. You know, we have this policy here of not giving guidance. It is something we like and we intend to continue. What I can tell you, and I think I did at the end of my presentation, is that with everything we have in our hands right now, with the numbers, with these intakes, and so with the renewal rates we are watching in Estácio, and plus, you know, our capacity to generate results based on this growth in net revenues, I think we have everything in our hands to deliver an outstanding year in 2014. And by outstanding, I mean a number that will, you know, please every single investor who believes in us. But we also have some things that are not absolutely considered by, you know, investors so far. And we mentioned some of them. The Pronatec or the UNICEB, you know, this students coming from Gama Filho and Universidade, they can get, you know, to 7,000-8,000 students eventually. Plus this corporate solutions area we have in our hands, watching a good pipeline of bids coming along. When we consider all these other, what we call here, avenues for growth, I think that we have a wonderful year ahead of us. Again, if everything goes wrong in terms of these additional, you know, possibilities, still, I think we are in great shape to deliver outstanding results. If at least part of the things end up happening, I think we're going to have an unforgettable year in 2014.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Bruno D'Arcino of Santander. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. First question, I would just would like to confirm the numbers that Virgilio just said about the revenue impact on the ad student cancellation. Was it 7 million, right, Virgilio?
Yes, Bruno, it's 6.8, actually. Okay.
So the remaining 3 million would be from students from a revenue that you canceled of non-paying students regarding to the third quarter, right?
The third and fourth quarter on campus student, and the other 3 million is the part coming from distance learning students.
Okay. Thank you very much. So my second question would be, actually there are two additional questions. The second one would be, how many Pronatec seats do you expect to fulfill in this first semester? And secondly, if it is fair to say that with project a similar net revenue expansion for next year, the company would be able to deliver another similar margin expansion as we saw in 2013. I mean, my question is if you still see a lot of potential from margin expansion from the turnaround of the operations you did recently. That's it from my side.
Well, Bruno, thanks for the question. As for the Pronatec, you know, it's unclear for us because it's the first time we're doing that. What I can tell you is that we had a kind of we had a website where students could declare their willingness to take this program with us in Estácio. And the numbers were huge. By huge, I mean like, you know, 8 or 9 times the number of seats we have. Obviously, this is just an intention. And now they have to confirm this in the Ministry of Education's website. So the process is different. I, believe there will be a very strong demand. I think our team here is trying to push as hard as we can in terms of, advertising, making sure that the students get the proper message. So it's hard to tell because it's going to be the first time, but I am very enthusiastic about the possibility that we're going to have a lot of students in this first, trial with the Pronatec. Also, Bruno, we the way we do things in Estácio always step by step, and remember that there's a learning curve. So this semester we decided to learn about Pronatec only in Rio de Janeiro. With the number of seats we got, this number we got only in the state of Rio de Janeiro, 24,000 seats. But now in the second semester, as we learn more about this, and if we feel confident in our own capacity to deliver, this product in the same way we deliver everything else in Estácio, obviously there is a chance you're going to expand that to other states, because we are present in 21 states, physically present in 21 states in Brazil. So I think Pronatec, if the government keeps going with the Pronatec in the same pace as they did in the last two semesters, I think there is room for a lot of growth in Estácio. Just remember that again, we do things step by step here in a very gradual way. As for the margin, if we get the same kind of revenue growth we saw last year compared to 2012, eventually should see a kind of a similar margin expansion. Obviously, you got to give me some kind of tolerance, up and down, because there are a lot of details we still have to wait for. For example, what's going to happen with our teaching costs? We are now defining how this cost will behave for the remaining of the year. We're not very clear on that, not to mention G&A and everything else. But I think there is a part of this, our entire cost structure, expense structure, that is by nature fixed. So chances are that there is room for, to go a little bit further what we did in 2013 versus 2012, assuming that everything else will be equal, because, again, there will be further dilution. Okay? Let's also remember that we are not seeing anything coming from Unifeb yet. It's early to tell. We need to wait for CAD, But let's remember that Unicef is almost a pure distance learning operation. So the moment we can bring it in and, add everything we can in terms of management, capabilities, and so forth, obviously there will be potential to increase our margins, because they are pretty much a pure distance learning player. So I think this can be a good surprise to everyone at the end of the year as well.
Okay, excellent. Very clear. Thank you very much. Melzi, thank you very much. Virgil, have a nice day.
Thank you, Bruno. Same for you.
Our next question comes from Marcelo Santos of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to you. Thanks for taking the question. I have two questions, actually. The first is, I would like to, if you could give a sense of how much of the PDA in the fourth quarter is related to students that in the first semester had not shown academic performance, and therefore, under the new procedure you adopted, the students wouldn't actually have been billed, and so they wouldn't go to the PDA. This would give an idea how much, what improvement we could be seeing for the next semester. This would be my first question.
That's such a great question. I don't have the answer for that right now. It's a great point. I mean, we don't have this analysis. I think it's easy to do. We can try to do better than share with anyone who has, who is curious about that. I would assume it is equivalent in terms of magnitude, because the process was pretty much the same. There may be some changes, but I would assume it is equivalent to what we saw now in terms of number of students, okay? But again, we can run these numbers here, Virgil and Flavia, and then Flavia can share with you.
Okay, that would be great. And then the second question, about the 3,000 students that lost their FIES scholarships on academic performance, or the lack of academic performance, I just wanted to understand better, is this something that happens like every semester, this semester was higher, or just happened this semester? And also, these are the students who dropped out because they lost FIES, but what are there students that lose FIES and stay in the company? I just wanted to understand a little bit better the dynamics of losing FIES on performance.
Hi, Marcel. Sir Virgilio. These numbers are higher in this year because of the higher numbers of FIES intake that we are seeing in our student base. Last year, this number was less than 1,000 students that didn't have the right performance. So in this year, we had 3,000 students that they lost the possibility to make the amendments by the end of the first semester. And we invoiced these students to renew this contract in July, or August, and September, but they didn't appear. They didn't take the exams in September, October. So we decided not to invoice October, November, December, and cancel this revenue from July, from September. That's the dynamics, what happened. And the number is higher, much more higher right now, because to lose the FIES, they have to fail in two semesters in a row, having less than 75% of performance in the credits that they are enrolled for the semester. So the numbers are higher, and this will be some kind of trend that we have. We have a higher numbers coming from FIES, and we'll see more students failing semester over semester. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much for the answers.
And once again, if you do have a question, please press star, then one on your phone. Our next question comes from Ruben Couto of Brazil Plural. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. Actually, most of them are already answered, but sorry to insist on this, but could you just provide more color on this quarter-over-quarter spike that we're having in delinquency rates in this fourth quarter? I'm not talking about what would be the impact in the upcoming quarters, but I understand that there were some effects that reduced your net revenue base, but even by adjusting these effects, I think it was still pretty much above the level for the 9 months of the year. Is it entirely related to the second half intake cycle? I mean, your intake cycle was pretty above average as well, so this is also already impacting the delinquency rates in the fourth quarter. Thank you.
You know, I'm not sure this is, I'm not sure I follow your question, but I mentioned in spike in delinquency, this is 2 years ago, and I mentioned that because it ended up causing a change in Estácio, in the way we were charging or we were trying to collect, you know, the fees from our students. We became much more aggressive around 2 years or a year and a half ago in that direction. Now, and again, I think we were very efficient when we decided to do that. I think now we start to pay a price because, you know, in Brazil, the rules are such that if you do that and end up charging the students in an unfair way, by definition, these students can come back and, you know, eventually sue us, and that they're doing that.
Yeah.
And we're losing this lawsuit. So this is what I was trying to illustrate. I was showing that because there was this change 2 years ago, we decided to become much more aggressive, and now we had to review that, you know, some of the practices we decided to adopt because we want to bring these numbers down. As far as I know, there is no signs of increase in terms of delinquency in this last quarter. Virgilio can talk more about that, but I think the market as a whole, not only in the education segment, but, you know, in the bank system itself, I think the delinquency has been coming down in Brazil, which is great news for everyone. So eventually, this is going to help us bring our PDA down next semester by itself. But on top of that, because we did, you know, this change in our process, there may be some additional improvement to our PDA. There is no impact in our PDA in this semester because, you know, the way we recognize our PDA asks us to wait for 180 days. So we are pretty much, you know, doing something now that we would have to do anyway 180 days ahead from now. So, and again, what we are doing, I'm not sure if I answer you, but what we are doing is pretty
good. I understand. Thank you for that. Just to wrap this up, and I mean, talking about year-end 14, could we expect that the level would be, you know, similar, slightly pretty much what we had in 2013 as well, even considering your new approach to these issues?
You mean what would be the same in 2014? I lost you.
The level of delinquency rate, sorry about that, in terms of net revenues.
You know, I think it won't change. Delinquency is one thing, PDA is another thing, right? PDA is the result of the delinquency. If delinquency goes really up, we have a lot of things to do between, you know, this, or before this delinquency ends up becoming provision, right?
And PDA, sorry about that.
Okay, because obviously they are correlated, right? If you have a higher delinquency, the PDA will go high. So for delinquency, I see no signs of change whatsoever. I think, as far as we know, in 2014, it will be pretty much the same as 13, eventually with some trend to reduce. As for PDA, Virgilio.
Yeah, just to add 2 points here, Ruben. Just to remember, in 2012, in the fourth quarter, we did the adjustment for the accounts for the FG Duke. So in the fourth quarter, we have around 4 million reais that benefit the PDA levels because the FG Duke at the fourth quarter is retroactive in the net revenues discount for the entire year of the top 2012. We didn't have this movement in 2013. So when we compare the PDA level of the fourth quarter 2013 against 2012, 2012 had this benefit, this punctual benefit at that time. Another point is for the what we are doing for the delinquency for the 2014. We just implemented in the third quarter a new area under my supervision here in Stasio, trying to retrofit all the collecting process, implementing a BI strategy, how to improve our collection or and reduce delinquency and consequently the PDA levels in the long term. So it's a very new project that we have here, and we're expecting very good results in the PDA for 2014 as a consequence of our this new area. Okay?
Oh, and by the way, on top of that, before I forget, we are moving towards an EVA culture in Estácio. So this year, for the first time, not only EBITDA will be the trigger for our entire bonus pool, but operational cash flow will be part of this equation as well. And my personal first goal is EVA for 2014. So you see, we are pretty much teaching our company to think more in terms of cash flow and value generation. So I think we are aligning the entire organization towards this concern, okay?
I see. Sorry about insisting that, but thank you. That was very helpful. Talking about a different subject, you mentioned that you are now starting your branding project, but when we look at marketing expenses, it was pretty much, talking about year-end 13 as a whole, it was pretty much flat in terms of net revenues compared to last year. So do you think that with this new branding project, do you expect to invest a little bit more in terms of marketing, or do you expect it to remain flat in terms of net revenues? Thank you.
Oh, thank you for the question. That's a good question. Branding is a long-term thing here. So what we did last year was pretty much in the back office. We brought here a big expert we have in Brazil, the same company, the same team that actually built the Natura's brand a few years ago, and then the Banco Real's brand some years after that. So we're talking about highly expert people. So we spent the entire year last year thinking about how we're going to build this brand, what is the kind of perception we want to cause in the entire population. So this was something really intern. At the end of the year, you may have seen, we did some kind of institutional marketing, talking more about our students and our contribution to the society. And this is also very important, not only because it will eventually in the future help us to boost our sales, but also because it helps us to somehow protect our image, against people who don't like very much education for profit and so forth. So we're working on that direction as well. In the future, obviously, we are going to do or to dedicate part of our marketing expenses to build this brand, and this is going to be more institutional than something as, merchandising and so forth. But we intend to keep our 5%. In terms of revenues for marketing expenses. This number is strategic for us. So the goal is to increase the revenues. If we increase the revenues, we shall have much more money, in absolute figures, in order to invest not only in our current traditional marketing stuff, but also to build this brand in the medium term. This is really, really important to our strategy in the future. Having a national brand that demands a lot of respect from everyone is absolutely key to our future in Estácio. So great question. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Once again, if you do have a question, please press star, then one on your phone. Our next question comes from George Grigg of Harbor Ridge. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. This is Georgi. So a couple of questions from me. Just to sort of circle back on this debt issue already one more time. So just to understand, in terms of what really changed is you really just decided to be a little bit more proactive and to avoid lawsuits, you basically bringing some of the and canceling some of the students that you would cancel either way, but just later. So in that sense, you're just being proactive. Nothing else really changed there, right? So that's one question. Is that the correct understanding?
Yogi, you're absolutely right. Think about that. I invoice a student, right, and then I have the entire semester to try to collect that. If I am not in that direction, at some point I will have to recognize this as a, you know, PDA, provision for doubtful account. So it is neutral, except for this time difference. It is neutral.
Yeah, so that's my point. So it's neutral. Really, it doesn't do anything. I mean, if anything, it, you know, it improves the operations, right? Removes some of the issues down the road, right? But as we think about the year, and you know, if we forget the timing differences on Q1, Q2, then you know, there should be no real impact from that point of view.
Yes and no, because remember I told you it was neutral until the moment we start getting sued by these students because we were trying to charge them in an unfair way. So it became negative. So what motivated us to change this strategy or this process was these lawsuits. So nothing to do with revenues or PDA because they are neutral, except for this time difference, right? But we were losing money because we were getting sued. So instead of waiting for this situation, we decided to change now. That's it. We
know that's good. That's in my mind. That's good. That's not an issue. I just wanted to understand if, from delinquency point of view and all that other stuff, right? That this policy doesn't really impact the numbers. The lawsuits, they're sort of, in my mind, once you stop this, then you can treat them as a one-off. The way I think about it, but maybe I'm wrong. So, okay. And then my other question is, the results were, you know, if you make these adjustments, results were okay, the results were in line with sort of expectations, but, you know, some of your peers, they had a, you know, blowout results, right? So they're a little bit more aggressive in terms of how they drive growth. And I'm just wondering, is there a reason for you being more conservative, or, you know, you just kind of, it's the learning curve, and, you know, how would you think about that? I mean, aside the product mix, I know the mix is different, so they have more DL than you do, but still, you know, there's a difference in the growth rates, and I'm just curious to hear your view.
Well, you are comparing us to the ones who had great results, but there were others with not so great results, right?
Sure. But I'm only comparing you to the best because you're good, right?
But I think there are two differences there, right? If you compare to Groton, who actually showed an outstanding result, and obviously we are happy for them because we're talking about the industry, right? Mm-hmm. Short term. They are coming from a, you know, a sequence of large acquisitions, so they have a lot of room to improve when it comes to delivering better results and margins because they have a lot of inefficiencies to work with, and I think they are being absolutely capable to do that. They are showing, you know, great capacity to quickly work on these inefficiencies within the acquired companies. We are in a different path because we haven't had any kind of large acquisition except for UNICEF, which we are waiting for, you know, authorization in the Ministry of Education. So we don't have all this room to work, and this is why I kept, you know, repeating during our presentation that we are doing everything we're doing here, you know, for the third year in a row, more than 50% EBITDA growth and all this margin expansion, we are doing pretty much in an organic way, and that requires a lot from us. The beauty about that, and this is a little bit more long-term now, is that we also have all these opportunities to do non-organic stuff, right, and to boost our margins and to do something new at some point. Let's see what's going to happen with UNICEF. At the moment, we're able to integrate UNICEF, and then let's think that about that as an option we have in our hands, right? We can do whatever. We can keep doing what we are doing now in terms of keeping expanding our operation with what we already have in our hands, but then we have all these avenues for growth I mentioned in the call, plus any other move that, you know, I cannot comment at this moment in time, but that is obviously we can actually go through as well, and then it can add on all this capacity we have in our hands. So I think we are in a situation here where we have the best of, you know, the two worlds. We are able to generate a lot of value just based on what we have in our hands, plus we have everything that others also have. So that's it. I look long term. I think we are going to deliver outstanding results for all of you, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Since there seems to be no further questions, I would like to turn the floor back over to Mr. Rogério Melzi for his final comments.
Well, just to thank you all for staying with us and for all these questions. It was quite an interesting call this time. Just want to point out that this last quarter and the entire 2013 for us, again, was great. Outstanding results, financial and non-financial results, but 2013 is gone now. It is past for us. We celebrated a lot, and that's it. We're now looking ahead and wondering how beautiful 2014 can be with all these things we have in our hands. So I hope you'll stay with us and join us in the last quarter with the next quarter results with great news. Hope to see you around. Thank you. Bye-bye.
This concludes the Stashio's conference call. You may now disconnect and have a good day.